If you would open your Bible to Matthew chapter 15, we're in verse 21. Don't stand quite yet, but Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. On Sunday mornings, we've been going through the miracles of Christ in church with the children, and it's personally been a help to me in just studying out the miracles. And in every miracle, God has a message for us. And this particular miracle, I witnessed about 3 months ago or more. I began studying it out. And as I was studying out, I scratched my head. I read the text. What does this mean? I'm like, I don't know if I can, I'm not sure what it means, what I'm going to tell the kids. And so I was studying out. And then so I didn't preach that Sunday because I didn't know and I wasn't ready for it. So I preached a different message. But the next week, as I continued to study out, God really spoke to me and helped me out. Because it just was a help to me, and I know that God has a message for us tonight. So let's stand in honor of God's word, and let's read Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out from the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered them and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole immediately from that very hour. I want you to notice that this mother was burdened and heavy-hearted for her daughter. She cared about her daughter. She spent a lot of time investing in her daughter. And she cared about her a lot. And she was heavy-hearted. And she goes to the Savior needing his help. Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. She was possessed with the devil. How'd that happen? I don't know. The lost are open to being possessed by the devil. And the saved, they're not open to being possessed by the devil, but they can be influenced by the devil. And so she is burdened and heavy-hearted for her daughter. So I've entitled the message, Burden and Heavy-Hearted. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. God, so thankful for your word. Thankful for the truth that's in your word. God, I pray that you would just use me to communicate your truth. God, what you're saying to us. And so, God, I pray that we would leave here knowing what you would want from us. And God, the encouragement that comes from this passage, I believe will be a help to all of us. I know personally it was a help to me. God, I pray that you'll be the pastor. Use him tonight. Use him great in a mighty way tomorrow as he preaches at the meeting. I pray that pastors will be encouraged as they hear your word being preached. And I pray that you'll bring him back safely to us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I want a little bit of participation tonight. I want some help. Who in here tonight, by raise of hand, would say that you know someone that used to come to church but no longer comes to church? My hand goes up. How many of you know someone that they might be in church or they might not, but you can see their life and the choices that they're making that is not right choices and it's leading them down the wrong path? That you can just, you see it in their life. I see people like that. And I don't want to be hard on anybody because I was once there. I'd hate to admit this, but there was a time when I was a teenager that I was away from the Lord and doing and just not following him. See, I grew up in North Carolina, went to church every Sunday as a little boy, started going to church at 4 years old. And went to church every Sunday. I got saved at the age of 12. I was homeschooled, so I was socially awkward and one of the typical homeschool people. And so I got a job at the age of 15 and a half working at Piggly Wiggly. And so I got the job there. My job was to be a bag boy. This Piggly Wiggly was in Jackson, about 11 miles from where I grew up. And so I would work there. It was a small town, country area. Everybody knew everybody. And so I got the job there. I started working there. My job was to bag the groceries and take them out to the car to the customers, sweep the floors and do that. Well, I loved that. It's kind of like Market Street. They take your groceries out. And I got to know a lot of people in the area, and I got to talk to them. I spent a lot more time talking to them than I probably should have, like 10 or 15 minutes out there by their car. But I think the owner liked that because I was creating a relationship with them, and he liked that. But it wasn't long as I began to work there, I began to make friends. And not good friends. Friends that they knew I went to church. They knew I believed in God. They respected that. Some of them did at least, but others didn't. And I began to make friends there and then began to make wrong choices, sinful choices that led me down a wrong path. And so as I was there, I was making these decisions, and work began to call me, hey, can you come in on Sunday and help out with something? So I would say yes. Then I began to hang out with my friends and not go to church and begin to go down the wrong path. And King Solomon calls this path the path of destruction, the path that is not the path of righteousness. And I wasn't on the path of righteousness. I was away from the Lord. I knew I was saved, but I wasn't doing right. And I'll never forget, as I would be at church occasionally or see somebody around and about, they would say, hey, I'm praying for you. Or even the people that I took groceries out there at Piggly Wiggly, they would comment to me, say, hey, I'm praying for you. And my mind, I'm like, why are you praying for me? I honestly at that point didn't know what I was doing by the influences and by the sinful choice I was making. I knew I was doing wrong, but I was slowly but surely making wrong choices and going down the wrong path. And they saw that, and they were praying for me. And I'll never forget, I was, at that time, I graduated at 16. I started community college there at the Votech, taking automotive technology and science degree. And the advisor there had said, hey, can you come into my office? I said, yeah. And he said, hey. And he just started talking to me. And he said, can I pray with you? And I'll never forget when he prayed for me. At that time, it didn't mean much to me then, but as I look back on it, I thank God for those who prayed for me, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. The prayers that they prayed, I believe, interceded in my life, that God got a hold of my heart and redirected my path back to the path of righteousness, where I was on the path of destruction, headed down a sinful way. And so the mom here is burdened and heavy-hearted for her daughter who is grievously vexed with the devil. How this happened, we don't know. Whether it possibly could have been that she was continuing to sin and to do things and allow the devil to take over, or what happened, I don't know. But she is grievously vexed with the devil, and this mom is burdened and heavy-hearted for her daughter. And we see Jesus, He leaves Galilee. The passage before this is where he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He's talking to them because they come to him and they're questioning him. Why are your disciples not eating with washed hands? They're eating with unclean hands. And they're trying to accuse Jesus of anything and everything, to indict him, to get rid of him, because they don't like him. And they're accusing him of all this. When he's trying to minister to the Jewish people there, they don't want anything to do with it. And so Jesus leaves the area there, going to Tyre and Sidon. And many believe that Jesus was trying to get rid of or away from the scribes and Pharisees, but he's God. I think he had divine appointment. And he goes to where this Canaanite woman's at, and he goes into the coast there, about 30 to 50 miles north of where he was at ministering there in Galilee. He goes there, and as he gets there, this woman hears that Jesus is in the area. Now, how she heard about him, how she knew about him, I don't know, but she did. She heard how that he healed the withered man's hand. I'm pretty sure of that. She heard how that he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Now, who would want their mother-in-law healed? I don't know, but I mean, they that happened. I do love my mother-in-law, but I mean, it happened. She heard how the centurion's son was healed. She heard how the lepers who were outcasts were healed, how Jesus healed them. And she, as soon as Jesus came in the coast, she left and found him and began to follow around crying out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." And she begins to cry out to him and call out him and follow him. And the Bible says Jesus does not answer her. The disciples get mad because she crieth out, meaning she continues to cry. And I can imagine with Jesus not talking to her or not saying anything, the cry begins to get louder. "Oh, have mercy on me. Oh, Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Have mercy on me. Oh, thou son of David." I can imagine it gets louder and louder, and she's just following them. It's kind of like Silas. We're at home getting ready to eat dinner, and I'm trying to talk to Mary. Mary says I talk a lot, and I'm beginning to think I might talk a lot. We're talking in the kitchen while she's cooking. Silas comes up and asks me or Mary a question. "Mom, can I have juice?" Mary and I talk. "Mom, can I have juice? Mom, can I have juice? Mom, can I have juice?" And he begins to just talk. And I'm telling you something like, "Stop it! Quiet!" And I'm like, I want to say quiet and leave me alone. And the disciples there are at the same point. "Stop it!" Kind of like when Brother Collins in the office. I just want to go to Pastor. "Pastor, please just send him out. I'm tired of hearing him yell. I'm tired of hearing him talk." I was in there studying today. And thank you, Miss Wilhite. She told the boys that were here, "Be quiet. Brother Carl's trying to study." Collins said out there in the office, "Why are you guys whispering?" Not that. He said, "Why are you guys whispering?" My mom said, "Be quiet. Brother Carl's trying to study." "Ah, he's okay." I'm like, "Have mercy on me, please." But so I can imagine the disciples are hearing her over and over persistently saying, "Have mercy on me. My daughter who I care about, my daughter who I love, my daughter who there's this burden, this heavy heartedness from what's happened to her. She's possessed with the devil. She needs your help, Lord. Nobody else can do it. Only you can do it." She continues to come to him and he doesn't answer a word. The devils just want him to do anything to get her away, which if somebody would do something with Colin, I appreciate it. Well, he's going to London. No, I'm just kidding. I'm really going to miss Brother Colin when he goes to London. But they want the woman to be quiet, put it nicely, be quiet. And so they just, "Lord, do whatever you got to do. Do whatever." Notice what she does, though, when she says, "Oh, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus, who went and was ministering to the Jews, is now in the Gentile area. And as he's in the Gentile area, she's a Gentile, but she's using Jesus' name as she knows who he is. He's the Messiah. He's the son of David. He's the king of Israel. She recognizes who he is. And she, by faith, she's calling out to him that she knows who he is and she needs his help because her daughter is possessed by a devil and she's crying out to him by faith. And so Jesus doesn't respond to her, but when the disciples, they are annoyed by it, they tell Jesus, "Get rid of this woman. She's pestering us." And Jesus looks over to the disciples and he answers them. In verse 24, but he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus is saying that my ministry is to the Jewish people first and then Gentiles. He came first to seek to Israel, then he was going to the Gentile nation. And he didn't answer. And as he's there, he's not being rude. People in that time and culture, Jews did not speak to Gentiles. They had nothing to do with Gentile people. A woman was not to talk to a man, or even and also not to talk to a rabbi, or to a master, who Jesus was a rabbi and a master, the great high priest. And when Jesus says that to the disciples, she's listening in. She just falls at his feet. Says, "Lord, help me." She begins to persistently call out to him again, "Lord, help me. Help me." She continues to humble herself and to worship God, crying out for help. For who? Her daughter, who is possessed by a devil. She knows Jesus is the only answer. And she's crying out for help. She says, "Lord, help me. I need your help. Jesus answered her. And he said in verse 26, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Did he just call her a dog? Yeah. Not like the Jewish people would have thought back then. A lot of the Jews would consider dogs yard dogs or nasty animals around or filthy animals. But he was calling, the word dog there means to a house pet. A house pet. Jesus refers to her as a house pet that was affectionately loved. Why did he do that? By the way, she didn't get mad. She didn't get offended by it. Her response to that, she said, in truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Jesus is testing her faith by not answering her. He's testing her faith by not answering her that or telling her that. He's testing her faith. Jesus wasn't ridiculing her. He went 30 to 50 miles just to see her, just to go up there. He went there for that purpose, a divine appointment. But she, her response says, Lord, but Jesus says that who's going to prepare food and give it to the dogs? I don't have a dog. I really don't want a dog. My boys want a dog. The only thing a dog would be good for is cleaning up the mess after the boys after they eat, because when they eat, they're real messy. I mean, when they get done eating, I'm looking down like, what in the world? Did they eat any food? And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to get the broom and start cleaning up. If I had a dog, I'd love for them to eat up the leftovers on the ground. But anybody that has a pet, you're not going to cook food for your family and then take that and put it, give it to them. If something falls, they can have it. You're like, yeah, get that, eat it up. I don't have to clean it up now. And her response was, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Her response was a response of faith, saying, Lord, I just need a crumb. That's all I need. I just need a crumb. I need your help. I need your work in my daughter's life. She is persistent, humbly, persistently seeking his face for mercy for her daughter. Her heavy and burdened heart, her weighed down circumstances of life that she's in, she humbly and persistently is seeking the Savior's face for mercy and grace in her daughter's life. To which Jesus answered, O woman, great is thy faith. Wait, what did she just say? What did Jesus say? Great is thy faith. He told her, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Her daughter was healed. Her daughter was cured. The devil left her daughter. Her burdened heart was lifted because she humbly and persistently sought the Savior's face for mercy and grace in the life of her daughter. Maybe you're in here tonight and you have a burdened heart, or you're got a heavy heart. Maybe it's a son, daughter, grandson who is away from the Lord. Maybe it's someone that's not saved that you've been praying for and your heart's heavy for them. And it burdens you down. Sometimes you think when you're praying, does God even hear me? You don't see any answers. You don't see any signs of working. Maybe God's trying to test how great your faith is. Maybe God's trying to see whether your faith is really in the right place. Maybe you've been praying for someone who's not saved, See, we are prone to stop praying because we don't see instant results. We are prone to say, well, it's not working. That's our humanity. We live in an instant society where we have instant mashed potatoes, we have instant fast food, we have instant this, and we take that to the same kind of mentality and attitude towards God. I prayed this one time, and he didn't answer. I prayed for a month straight, or I prayed for a week, and it didn't answer. We're prone to go to God the same way. God wants us to be persistent. He wants to see our great faith. Maybe you know someone in your life or someone that used to sit in Bethany Baptist Church who no longer is here. And your heart's burdened. I got to tell you, my heart gets burdened when I see people leave, because I know the path that it's headed to, because I've been there, and the destruction that happens when I see someone going wayward, when I see kids that aren't doing right, my heart burdens for them because I know exactly where that can lead if they don't get back on course. Maybe you know someone that used to be here, somebody that you know that maybe you haven't prayed for, that you haven't been persistently praying to God that God will work in their life. God wants to use us to intercede for them. He wants to use you as part of Bethany Baptist Church to humbly, persistently seek his face by faith for the grace and mercy for other lives. There's teenagers. Maybe you have a son or daughter who went to camp and they're on fire for the Lord. And they're back now, and they've been in school, and now you can see it. As a parent, you can see it where they're wandering away. Are you praying for them on a regular basis, persistently? God wants us to keep praying for them and not give up. Maybe it's a decision that you know somebody had committed to the Lord, and you see them wandering away from that decision, and it burdens you. Continue to take that to the Lord in prayer. Give it to him. Maybe it's even a health problem that you're facing. I was on the phone with somebody the other day that just broke down crying because the health situation is not good. And they said, I prayed and nothing's changing. And they're burdened down, heavy-hearted. God wants us to pray for them. Sometimes we think if I just say something to them or keep telling them that they should do this, or I say do this, that would be good. But Ian Bounds said this, we do more of everything else than of praying. See, sometimes we think that if we just say something to someone or try to help them out, that's the best option. We should still talk to them. We should still encourage them to be in church or that. But the first thing we should do is be praying for them persistently, humbly, seeking the Savior's face by faith for grace and mercy in their life. Ian Bounds also said this, I think Christians fail so often to get answers to their prayers because they do not wait long enough on God. Prayer is not a foe to work. It does not paralyze activity. It works mightily. Prayer itself is the greatest work. It is the greatest work. So can I ask you a couple questions? Do you know someone that is going down a wrong road? Have you been praying for them? Have you been persistently praying for them? God, maybe you have been, and God's, I don't know what's happening. Nothing's changing. God wants you to continue to pray for them and have great faith. He wants you to do that. This Canaanite woman, she kept going to the Savior, persistently seeking his face, saying, you're the only answer. It pleases God. It pleases God. Sometimes We can be burdened down with the problems of life. Problems of life, situations of life, people that you love and care for, that you know that's not doing right. There's been people that I prayed for that I care about and I love. And God helped me through this message, reminding me to persistently and humbly seek His face by faith for grace in their life. I think a lot of, not a lot, but I know some of the problems I had back in May led to this, the burdensomes of life in general, but also of people that I knew that weren't doing right, or that just lost people that I pray for that you just don't see anything, and just all the weights and pressures, and it began to weigh down on me. But God reminded me through this, or reminded me that I'm not meant to carry those burdens. I'm meant to roll those, put those, and seek the Savior's face by faith. So maybe you know somebody that is like that, that you have a heavy heart for, that you just need to continue to take it to the Lord in prayer and ask for His grace in their life and their mercy. She didn't give up. Too often we give up. We say, I talked to them, it's not going to work out. She wasn't done. She knew where the source was, and she kept going to the Master. Let's keep going to the Master by faith for those that we care about and love that are lost or that are down the wrong road. You never know what your prayers can do in the lives of the other people.